This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. And we are glad to have you all with us today on the program as we are joined by Elizabeth Hazard of the Women's Center. It's based in Bloomsburg. They serve Columbia and Montour counties. Elizabeth Hazard serves as their education and marketing director. Thanks for being with us on the program. Liz, can we first get a bit of history about the Women's Center? We've been talking to folks from the center for decades, probably longer. I know personally I've interviewed folks from there since I began here in the late 80s. So, but give me a little history, a little background of the Women's Center, and just kind of a nutshell version of what it's there for.
The Women's Center is a nonprofit charitable organization. It was formed in 1974 and incorporated in 1976. We provide services to victims, children, and non-offending significant others in Columbia and Montour County.
Getting pretty close to 50 years. Was that one of the first in this area of the facility of this sort?
Yes, I believe it was one of the first in the area, and actually one of the first in the state.
Are you part of a network of facilities like this, or is it a standalone kind of a thing?
We are a dual facility, so we do service victims of domestic violence, their significant others, and children for domestic violence and sexual assault. There are some agencies in the state that are strictly domestic violence agencies and some that are strictly sexual assault, but we are one of the dual agencies.
And now you mentioned sexual assault and domestic violence, and I would guess that over the years your reach in those areas has expanded. Have you kind of expanded the programming as time goes on to more than just a shelter? In other words, you're reaching out into the community as well?
We are. We are very much community-based. We work to create pathways to safety and justice for, as I said, victims. That's men, women, children. We provide long and short-term counseling services. In addition to the residential services, we provide medical advocacy as well as legal advocacy and education and outreach programs.
How many people keep the place running? Hired workers? Is it volunteers? Both?
Both. We count on volunteers. We also do have some hired staff, but we're a very small agency.
As far as location, has that been one place or has it moved? I mean, I assume that's low-key because of the nature of it, but I mean, have there been different physical locations?
To my knowledge, we have had two physical locations, one of which is our administrative building, where most of the administrative work is run out of. The other is our shelter building, which is very low-key, based on safety.
How many people would you say are served annually?
I can give you some of our numbers despite COVID, because during COVID and the past couple of years, people were isolated and stuck inside with sometimes often their abusers. So we did receive actually over 2,200 hotline calls. We provided almost 800 adult victims over 3,000 hours of counseling services, and we provided 142 children with 246 counseling hours. We also provide these educational programs and awareness programs to the community, and we reach out to children and youth as well as professional trainings.
As far as volunteers, what are the biggest needs?
We have a wide array of opportunities for volunteers. It would be based on their interests. Sometimes it can be something simple like maintenance, taking care of lawn work at the buildings themselves. Other times it could be a community outreach event if they wanted to participate in helping with a resource fair or fundraising, or if they would like to volunteer and help with the hotline, the basics, running the operation day to day.
And if people are interested?
We do have a contact number, 570-784-6631. And there is someone who would be available to answer their questions or take their name at that number 24/7.
Any idea how many volunteers you have kind of in your base from year to year?
That number's been changed a little bit based on the last couple of years with COVID. So the more the merrier, so to speak, but we would be happy to have 10 to 20 volunteers at least, at the minimum.
How has COVID impacted the work?
So what we're seeing is that They were isolated, and now we have more significant, more exacerbated situations. And they're reaching out more frequently. So our numbers have increased.
The number of calls to the hotline, that kind of blew my mind when you said that a while ago. I mean, that's obviously multiple calls a day. And
it can be a bit of a challenge to answer the hotline when you have multiple lines ringing at the same time.
Wow. How many women and men are affected? And it's not just women. Certainly that's probably the majority, I would guess. But, you know, how many people out there are impacted by domestic violence?
Certainly men and women are affected equally, and children. You cannot leave that piece of it out, because they are also a significant, they're impacted by domestic violence just as much as those that are going through it. In our state alone, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men have severe physical violence, endured that by an intimate partner. There are 2,574 people that have contacted a hotline in one day in the state. So I would say I can give you an overview of statistics for the state. There have been 109 individuals that have died from domestic violence alone in 2020. There have been 90,000 individuals and children that have served.
Do you feel like it's the problem's being addressed enough? Is it just that there's more awareness now? We know what's happening. Has there been an improvement in dealing with this or preventing it?
We certainly are working to try to provide the community with more services and expand our services. And we are working to be in the schools and communicate, get our prevention programs out there so that children are also as educated about this and know who to contact, who to reach, or who to talk to. We certainly have seen that these victims, as a result of the pandemic, and their children were forced to spend more time with their abusers. Therefore, they were cut off from support systems. They were not in school, so they were unable to report. They were unable to maybe at times go to work or go to church, which is where they may look for a safe haven or look for a safe person to speak to. So historically, women who experience this, men who experience this, face an increased likelihood of being unemployed or underemployed. They do struggle to find safe and affordable housing, and they face a higher risk of eviction. So COVID exacerbated this and certainly increased the numbers as far as substance abuse and mental health. All of those things increased during that time. And so, as I said, we are seeing a greater number in our community, and we are a small community. So it's just something to keep in mind.
And certainly your organization didn't go away when the COVID came. It's just everybody's adapted, and I'm sure that's you've seen a lot of changes too in how you deal with people.
Yes. So a lot of times our residential services are a great need. And when they are looking for transitional housing or basically permanent housing, it's very difficult to find alternative options for them in our communities.
What sort of educational outreach is being done?
We're trying to go into all schools at all levels, so anywhere from elementary, middle school, high school, universities. We are trying to provide services to businesses as well as local community organizations.
Is that kind of part of your job, or are there several people doing this?
No, it is. It is part of my job. We like to work as a team, so I do have some people that are also willing and able. And we do have 2 mandated reporting trainers on staff, so we're available to the community and their employees to conduct that training.
And having been there almost 50 years, I would assume awareness is pretty high in the community. Is that the case, or do you feel like there's still people who are not aware of what you do?
I think people are aware that we are there. I do think people lack maybe the understanding of exactly what we do and exactly what our services are there for. Currently, we're providing services both on-site, in-person, and virtually. And we are offering groups, a number of different groups, and if they're group counseling, that is. So if anyone would be interested, they would be welcome to call our hotline number and get some information and details about those.
And let's give that number, any numbers you want to give, and then we'll talk a bit before we close about how you keep things running. But let's hear those numbers first.
Okay, so we have a hotline number. It's a 1-800-544-8293. And you could also reach our 570-784-6631.
Whenever I talk to somebody working with a nonprofit, we're a nonprofit radio station, so the you kind of have that connection in knowing that to keep things going, it requires bringing in funds. So how does the Women's Center do that? How do you just pay for the day-to-day operations and upkeep?
We have a number of different funding streams, but we do mostly rely on our local support, our local donations and fundraising events. We have some drives that go on throughout the community, which are similar to like a clothing drive, but maybe for cleaning supplies or for children's needs, diapers. We did do a baby shower, which is kind of like a diaper drive, but also included children's things such as teething rings, things that, that young children would need.
And I did, just not too long ago, I saw a story about a young lady doing a drive with cell phones, correct?
Yes, correct. So they are converted to 911 phones, and they are very helpful to someone that's in crisis that, you know, when they're fleeing a crisis situation, they have nothing. So a lot of times they don't have even a phone to call for safety. So those are 911 phones so that they can call the 911 center for help.
Who doesn't have a drawer with old phones in it, right? So a really good way to rid yourself of them and help others.
Yes, for such a good cause.
Okay, is that ongoing or is that something you anytime would?
I know that we recently had the drive. It was a young lady, I believe, a third grader, and from the community, which is a great thing that, you know, children are reaching out and helping other children as well. But I believe they can donate at any time. Okay. If you have an old phone, you can just call our number and contact someone. They'll be happy to assist you with that.
Alrighty. And the website, thewomencenterinc.org.
Yes.
And so you can get all information there too. I guess you can even donate to the Women's Center on that site, correct?
Correct.
All right. So if you don't specifically want to be a maintenance person, volunteer, or answering hotline, there's just a way to help out there for anybody that would like to help. Are there specific areas that you can use help with volunteers, with donations? Well, you know, what are some of the key areas of need that you see on a regular basis?
We could always use help with volunteers. Certainly, we do see a great need in those that are without anything, trying to find simple things like gas to fill their tank to get them to a safe place. So we do rely on gift cards, even if it's a simple $10, $20 donation for a gift card so that they're able to get gas and maybe one meal until they can find a safe place.
Okay. I think if you can kind of wrap your brain around the idea of these are people who are leaving everything behind, and it may not seem like a big deal to us, but it's a lifesaver.
It is, and very impactful, and you would be amazed at how thankful they are when they are through that.
And do you connect with local officials, organizations, law enforcement?
We do. We try really hard to work closely with local law enforcement so that we can assure safety.
Okay. And as far as donations, do you get kind of corporate things too, like supermarkets or whatever? Is it is that the kind of thing that for an organization that's been around so long, do you kind of have connections there?
We are. We're trying to build and work on building those connections as well and expand so that we can collaborate with other agencies to be able to network and provide the services that we need to help our clients. We're so thankful for our local support and the local donations. It's a big help.
And as far as folks there, you want to kind of give kudos to the people who keep it running. Your director is Christy
Roberson.
Roberson, okay. And you have several on staff paid?
We do, yes. We have a director of counseling services. We have a director of human services. We also have a number of, you know, those in the legal role, the medical role, the education role.
But again, you can always use volunteers. You can always use donations to keep things running. So, all right, Elizabeth, we appreciate you being with us on the program today. Further information you want to pass along that I have neglected to bring up? Anything you want to add?
No, I think we pretty much covered quite a few topics. Okay. I just wanted to follow up with our number again in case anyone needs our services. 570-784-6631, 1-800-544-8293.
All right. Thanks for being with us on the program today.
Thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.